Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananda Gaudi Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopata Sam Kun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan ki jai. Chiram ki jai. Navaditam ki jai, Jagadapasami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Srimati Tulasi Devi ki jai, Sankara Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaura Premananda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shambhopad ki jai. Om Maganatu Miranda Shaganan Jano Chilakaya Chakshuran Muditam Yenatasmai Shugurubai Maha. So the first point we're going to deal with is why do we believe that Lord Chaitanya is God? Because you have many different groups who believe that their particular leader is God, especially in India. But even from Korea, they had a one God coming from Korea. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And I'm sure we had a few from America that I haven't counted. So, why do we believe what we believe? This is called, in philosophy, epistemology. You know, why do you believe what you believe? So our method of understanding what is true and what is not true is called the descending process. The descending process means that there's God, Krishna, and he teaches through disciplic succession. And there's Vedic literatures that come in disciplic succession that are presented by the members of an unbroken chain of disciplic succession. So, it is interesting, many people will challenge us and say, why do you believe Lord Chaitanya is God? There's no mention of him in what they call the Vedas. Let's talk about Vedas for a second. There's, of course, the four original Vedas, like the Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Tarva Veda, and Rig Veda. And then you have the Upanishads, the Vedanta Sutra, the Itihasas, the histories. Itihasa means less than happened. Purana means old, like the 18 major Puranas, and there's so many minor Puranas. So, generally, you find people who are ritualistic Brahmanas just accept the original four Vedas. That's just the way they are. Because they like doing rituals and making money from the rituals. You know, obviously, most of the Vedic literatures deal with something called Trigunya. As Krishna says in the Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Vedanis Trigunya Bhavarjana. Nirgwan Bho Nikishakuchto Yogakshema Atmavan. He says to Arjuna, rise above the three modes and be established in the self. But upon doing research, which I did a little bit, we found so many references to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the original Vedic literatures. In the four original Vedic literatures, and I'd like to read them before talking about the Shikshasha, just so we can reinforce our faith, because Shraddha is very important. In fact, the first verse of the Shikshashtika deals with Shraddha, as we're going to explain in a few minutes. Every verse of the Shikshashtika, that is Lord Chaitanya's eight teachings, deal with a different stage of devotional service. Shraddha, of course, means faith. So it's important to have good faith, or strong faith. As Krishna says in the Gita, Shradanana Purusha Dharma Shasha Pramtapa Aprapyamam Nivartinte Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Does anyone know that verse? Those who don't have faith, what happens? They don't achieve Krishna, and they return to what? Mrityu, death, Samsara, repeated birth and death, Vartmani, the path. So, to establish this faith is so important. Of course, we do gain our faith by practicing Krishna consciousness too, by chanting the holy names. We experience, like Prabhupada said, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. But it's important to establish this initial faith, and therefore we make reference to the Vedic literatures. And I'll read a few quotes that are very specific about Lord Chaitanya. Let's read one from the Atharva Veda. In the Atharva Veda, it says, in the seventh manvantara, I'm not going to read the Sanskrit, the Supreme Lord will, accompanied by his own associates, descend in a golden form. he will teach the chanting of his own holy name. That's the Atharva Veda. Okay, let's go to the Samaveda. To deliver the people devoured by the sins of Kali Yuga, that's where we are right now, in case you didn't know, I will, accompanied by my associates, descend to the earth in a place by the Ganges shore. I will be a Brahmana Avaduta Sannyasi. Again and again, I will chant the holy names of the Lord. And, of course, in the Bhagavatam, which is not one of the original four Vedas, but it's considered Panchama Veda Uchite, the fifth Veda, which is a famous verse that I think you all know, Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sangopam Garsha Parshadam Yagyahi Sankirtanai Yaprayar Yajantihi Sumedasa. That in this age of Kali, Krishna will appear not in blackish form, but he will appear in non-blackish form and also chanting the Lord's holy names. And one who has sufficient brain substance will worship him in this way. So, let's go back to the Purana, the other Puranas. In the Garuda Purana, Krishna says, deliver the conditioned souls burning in the troubles of Kali Yuga. In the first Sanja of that age, that's this age, I will take birth amongst the Brahmanas in my original spiritual form. Perfect and complete, I will become the son of Sachi Devi in Navadvip Mayapur. That's pretty specific, isn't it? I mean, you can't get more specific than that. At the beginning of Kali Yuga. So there's another one in the Garuda Purana. In the first Sanja of Kali Yuga, the Lord will assume a golden form. First he will be the husband of Lakshmi, and then he will be a sannyasi who stays near Lord Jagannath at Puri. Pretty specific there, too. So those of you who want to have faith, you read these and it just increases or establishes your faith. In Garuda Purana it says, the Supreme Lord who enjoyed pastimes with the gopis, who day and night filled the people of Vrindavan with happiness, who killed Kamsa, and in the war between the Kauravas made friendship with the Pandavas, will come again to this earth. Of this, there is no doubt. His arm will be decorated with a bamboo danda, that's his stick when he took sannyas. He will be a sannyasi, and his name will be Chaitanya. And even in the Devi Purana, which definitely usually deals with the worship of Devi, Durga, it says, the Lord will appear in this world. His name will be Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and he will spread the chanting of the Lord's holy names. In the Nrisimha Purana, it says, the Supreme Lord, who in the Sakshi Yuga appeared as a half-man, half-lion, to cure a terrible disease that had ravaged the daityas, and who in Treta Yuga appeared as Ram, a person who defeated the ten-headed Ravana, and who in Dwarpa Yuga removed the earth's burden and protected the Gopa people of Rajapura, will appear again in the Kali Yuga. His form will be golden, and he will delight in chanting the Lord's holy names, and his name will be Chaitanya. Pretty good, isn't it? And then finally, there's so many that I could read. I'm not going to read them all. The Padma Purana is the final one. In the first Sanja of Kali Yuga, that means the first part of Kali Yuga, I will appear on the earth in a beautiful place by the Ganges shore. I will be the son of Sachi Devi, and my complexion will be golden. So we've actually proved that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead by reciting these Vedic literatures. So anyone who has any doubt, they can. I'd be happy to share these later on with anyone so they can see these different quotes. So that's why we believe. Like Prabhupada said, that when a devotee preaches Krishna consciousness or explains Krishna consciousness, he has to be like a lawyer citing the law. In other words, he can't just say, I feel like that, I think Lord Chaitanya is God, or I feel someone else is God, or I feel this, I feel. Prabhupada said, when you say, I think, you're a rascal. Of course, ordinary things you can talk about, I think, you know. Like, I think it's cold today. That's all right, you're not a rascal. It's true. So, but when dealing with spiritual subject matters, as soon as you say, I think, or maybe, Prabhupada said, no, we don't go like this. And every time a bona fide devotee speaks about Krishna, he has to be able to recite or give reference to some Shastra quote. That is our method of epistemology. So, with that in mind, we're going to talk about Lord Chaitanya's eight verses that he taught us. Lord Chaitanya didn't write anything else, but he spoke these eight different verses, which are called Shikshastika, the eight verses of instruction. And I'm going to give some examples and explain how each verse not only relates with a particular teaching, but it relates with the stage of devotional service. It relates with the time of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya's Leela, which is really interesting. This is from the Bhajana Rahasya by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, let's start with the first one. Does anyone know that by heart? Yeah, someone can recite it by heart. The first verse is Shishashita. Very nice. And so the translation given by Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a translation you may not be that familiar with, but it's Prabhupada's translation in the CC. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste the full nectar at every step. So this verse, this first verse of the Shishashita, refers to the first stage of devotional service, Adho Shraddha. That means initial faith or trust in the Vedic literatures, which we talked about before, the Vedic literatures. It also indicates something very, very interesting, which is the first part of the day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm going to read what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does the first time of the day. And his day starts at, can anyone guess?
3:36.
Hey, who knew that? Who said that? 3:36. 3:36, exactly. 3:36 is 6 o'clock. Lord Chaitanya awakens, talks with his wife, because these are all pastimes in Navadvip, Mayapur. It's interesting that we worship the Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of a grahasta, not on the altar in the mood of the sannyasi. In other words, we don't give dandas to Lord Chaitanya on the altar, because the devotees don't like to see Lord Chaitanya being austere. They'd like to see him at least be comfortable. Because when Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi, he basically wouldn't eat practically any of the things that were offered on the altar. Because he would refuse. He said to Raghunath Das Goswami that a sannyasi shouldn't eat opulent food, shouldn't think of women even in dream, shouldn't wear fine cloth, and should always think of Krishna in his heart of hearts. So, therefore, if we want Lord Chaitanya to stand on the altar, we have to worship him as a householder. That's important. So, and then Lord Chaitanya finally visits his mother, Sati Devi. But then Krishna also has a first time of the day, which the Shikshashita refers to, that the parrots, the birds in Vrindavan, awaken Radha and Krishna, and there's a reluctant separation at dawn, and they take a bath, which is called the Avavrita, or the purifying bath. And then they run home, and they make believe they're in bed. They make believe they're sleeping so they don't get caught. So these pastimes, both of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna, are connected with this first verse of the Shikshashtaka. Now, I'd like to give some examples of how the first verse of the Shikshashtaka can be applied with different personalities. In other words, how different personalities reach the Shraddha stage in devotional service. Okay, so I'm going to give two or three examples. One is a person mentioned in the Jiva Dharma. He was a Paramahamsa sannyasi, completely transcendental, minding his own business, absorbed in Brahman, aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am God, just sitting there in Varanasi, and he was thinking, I'm not experiencing happiness. I joined this Brahman movement, the International Society for Brahman Consciousness, 12 years ago. And, where's the bliss? Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Om, 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 Om. Didn't work. So as he was chanting his Om, a devotee happens to come by, and this is proof of this first verse in the Shishashida. A devotee comes by and has a kirtan, Jaya Sachinandan, Jaya Sachinandan, Gaur Hari. And then he starts to feel ecstasy. He thinks, what's going on here? I'm supposed to be absorbed in Brahman, I'm a Paramahamsa, why am I feeling this ecstasy? And then, as a result of just hearing the holy name once, as we describe here, Cheto Darpana Marjan, it cleanses the mirror of the heart. Even if you hear it without knowing that you're hearing it, even if you say it with meaning something else, like haram, how horrible. That's how the Muslims say. Even if you go to the Ramada Inn, you know, you're getting some benefit there. So this sannyasi, eventually he makes his way to Vrindavan, then he goes to Mayapur, takes shelter of the Vaishnavas, and becomes a pure devotee, throws away his sannyas staff, becomes Vaishnavadas. Nice, isn't it? And that's proof of this. I'll tell you one or two more stories. Another proof is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had so many desires, and he chanted the Lord's holy names, and what happens? His heart became pure. So finally, when he saw Lord Narayan, what did he say? Does anyone know the verse? I was looking for some pieces of broken glass, and I found what? A diamond, a beautiful, wonderful jewel. So this proves, I'm proving each Shikshashika by these different stories. I thought that would be interesting for everybody. Okay, so I got more stories. I mean, of course, there's Valmiki, too, who was just this dacoit, and he didn't even know he was chanting the Lord's names. He was chanting death, death, death. Mara, 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 ram, ram, ram. It became Ram, and then he became a great devotee. And he was able to write the Ramayana, host Sita Devi, and Lavan Kushan's ashram. I mean, pretty nice, isn't it? Just by chanting the Lord's names, everything gets awakened. So that's the proof of the first one. Let's hear the second one. Anyone know the second verse of the Shikshashika? Okay, the translation given by Prabhupada in the CC is, my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name, there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names, like Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon this fallen conditioned soul by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So this is, the second verse indicates the stage of devotional service known as Sadhu Sangha, and also Anartha Nivritti, Bhajana Kriya, and Anartha Nivritti. They're actually all combined together in this second verse. And so it's also, let's say, the time of the day with Lord Chaitanya, where Lord Chaitanya's mother, Sachi, begins cooking. He bathes and worships the Ganges. He offers and worships Lord Vishnu. And he takes his morning meal. And then he takes a nap, which is nice. And so in Krishna's pastimes, Yashoda awakens Krishna. Krishna washes his face, milks the cows. Actually, Krishna's been awake the whole night, but Yashoda Mai thinks he's just waking up now. Wrestles with friends, massage, bath, and dressing. And Radha's friends awaken her, bathe and dress. Radha and friends cook for Krishna, and Krishna takes his morning meal. So, an example of a person who, let's say, is an exemplar of this particular verse, how the Lord's potencies, all the Lord's potencies, Nija Sarva Shaktish, means all the Lord's potencies are invested, even the material potencies are invested, is this interesting person in Narottama Das Thakur's pastimes. His name was Chand Roy. Maybe some of you heard of him before. He was a dacoit. He became a devotee. He was in prison because the king didn't like him. And what happened is the king wanted to kill him. And so the king called for this big elephant that was going to trample him to death. So Chand Roy, what did he do? He started chanting the Lord's holy names. pulled the trunk out of the elephant, the elephant died. Not, can't do that ordinarily, can you? You try that. Try that in Mayapur with our elephants, you know. Pull the trunk and see what happens to you. So by the chanting, he was even given like this material potency to do such an amazing thing. And of course, he ultimately became a pure devotee of Krishna. Another story that illustrates Krishna's poshana or protection is Haridas Thakur being beaten in 22 marketplaces in Krishna's protection, and Prahlad Maharaj being subjected to the torture of his father. So these are different personalities and pastimes that illustrate this particular verse of the Shishashtaka. Let's go on to the next verse, the third verse. Anyone know the third verse? And so the third verse is translated by Prabhupada. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than the tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. And then this third verse is called Nishta. It's the stage of Nishta Bhaja. In other words, Nishta means you're steady 24 hours a day if you're humble. It's interesting. That's the key to being steady in devotional service, to Amanina Manadena. Not expecting respect, but serving all others. So, as far as the time of the day, it's when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wakes up from his nap. He visits his devotees and starts chanting. And as far as Krishna's pastimes, is when the coward boys come to Nanda's house, they and Krishna take the cows to graze. And they have games in the forest. Nice, isn't it? So, as far as a person who illustrates this, let's take someone from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. There's a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya known as Kalidas. So Kalidas, what he was doing, he epitomized what this verse talks about. What was he doing? He was eating the remnants of all the Vaishnavas in Navadvipa. He would go to someone's house, even someone who was of a lower caste. There's this one person, Jadu Thakur, who was a lower caste. Generally in India, those of us in America can't really relate to this, lower caste, higher caste, because we're all equal in America. God bless America. But, you know, we don't have any sexism, racism, or anything in America. We just kumbaya, you know. So, anyway. But in India, they have this whole caste consciousness where people are discriminated. Not a little bit now. I mean, you have your different people who do the cleaning of the street and everything like that. So he would go to every Vaishnava, even the untouchables, and he would give them some food. Like with Jadu Thakur, he gave him some mangoes, and Jadu Thakur took the mangoes, and he would wait outside the devotees' houses, and he would eat, suck on the pith of the mango or the skin of the mango after Jadu Thakur and his wife had eaten it. That's the trick to becoming steady in devotional service. Not that you have to do that. I mean, it might be a good idea to take the devotee's remnants. But every devotee. And because of that, guess what? He got a chance to do something with Lord Chaitanya's permission that no one else got a chance to do. When Lord Chaitanya was entering the Jagannath temple, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bathing his feet, as is the tradition, and he, with Lord Chaitanya's permission, was able to put his hands, his palms, under the bathing of Lord Chaitanya's feet, like that, and drink it. One other person tried to do it when they were cleaning the Gundicha temple, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Get him out of here." But he allowed Kalidas to do that. So this is a very important lesson for us if we want to be steady in devotional service. As soon as we think that we're very important, as Prabhupada said, he gave this interesting expression, if you go to Lanka, you'll become Ravana. What does that mean? That means as soon as you have some position, or you're more intelligent than other people, or you're in charge of other people, or you're more beautiful than other people, Janmaishwarya Shuta Shishinir, then you think you're better than them. And then you lose your nishta, or steadiness in devotion. So why? Because you commit an offense against the Vaishnavas. So instead of committing offenses, we should serve all the Vaishnavas. So this is third verse. Okay, let's go into the fourth verse. It won't take that long. Who knows the fourth verse? Janmani, Janmani, Sarai, Bhavata, Bhaktiya, Hayati, Swaye. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruit of activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. So, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this verse indicates ruchi. Ruchi means you get a taste, such a taste for devotional service. Bhagavad Gita also says what? Raso Varjam, Raso Prasad, Param Drishtani Varjate. You have a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, and you're fixed in consciousness. And you're not interested in what? In any of the things of this world. As far as the time of the day, what happens at that particular point is that Lord Chaitanya, he wanders in the flower gardens by the Ganga, and he remembers the Vrindavan pastimes. And at this time of the day, which is 10:48 to 3:36 p.m., sorry, I didn't give the times when I was reciting before, Krishna plays his flute, and he wanders in the six seasonal forests of Vrindavan, and Krishna meets the gopis, makes jewelry for them. Wow, he even makes jewelry. Has water spots and lotus battles, in the water, of course, water sports, sorry, a forest picnic, and a game of dice with the gopis. So all this happens related, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with this particular verse of the Shikshashtika. And to illustrate, let's pick someone or two people to illustrate this. One person I remember is, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Ramananda Roy. What was Ramananda Roy able to do? Does anyone know? He was able to train and dress and perfume these Devidasi young girls without feeling any disturbance. One of Lord Chaitanya's associates, Prajuna Mishra, heard about this and he was just like, what's going on? And he went to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya said, Ramananda Roy is the only one with that prerogative. We do not imitate. Nobody should try that here. Of course, we don't have too many Devidasis either. So, another example to illustrate this point is Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was born in a wealthy family, multi-millionaire family. He had a wife like that of Indra's wife, and opulence was unbelievable, yet he gave it all up to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was living as the most austere of all the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So these are persons who illustrate, who personify these particular verses. Okay, next verse. Aye? Kripaya tadapada kankhita stita gulis sabrisam vachintya. O my Lord, O Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. But because of my own fruit of acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nescience. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So this indicates Krishna Shakyamuni, very attached to Krishna. So Prabhupada would sometimes summarize this particular verse by saying that when we chant the holy names of the Lord, we should chant in the mood of a child crying out for his mother. Aye Nanda Tanup Chikingaram. I am your servant, Krishna, but I've fallen down in this horrible ocean of material birth and death. So, what time of the day does it indicate? The afternoon. And that's 3:36 to 6 p.m. when Lord Chaitanya tours Navadvip, goes to the bank of the Ganges, and returns home. And Krishna, at this particular time, rejoins the boys and cows and returns to Braj, covered with dust, reciprocating with the plants of Vrindavan. In other words, Krishna has a relationship with all the plants of Vrindavan. And one person who personifies, can anyone guess? Who would personify this? Govinda Mani Purusham. Okay, nobody can guess. Gajendra. Gajendra the elephant. Gajendra the elephant was King Indrajit in his last life, and he got cursed. And he remembered these prayers, and he was enjoying until he understood how much suffering the material world was, or had, right? And how did he suffer? One of the crocodiles came and started to attack him. And then he cried out to Krishna. And he became a pure devotee, went back to Godhead, back to home, back to Godhead. Okay, next verse. We only have three more verses. Nayana. So, my dear Lord, when will my eyes be beautified? By filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name. When will my voice falter, and all the hairs on my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? Can anyone guess which stage of devotional service is it? It's pretty easy. Bhava. It's bhava. Bhava means emotion. Mm. And so, this bhava, these transcendental emotions, are preliminary before you reach the stage of prema. And there's different types of bhavas described by the acharyas. There's Yavachari bhavas, Vai bhavas, Ashtaka, Sattvika bhavas. And they go into a whole description of the different types of emotions that devotees experience. So, as far as the time of the day, it's the evening time. And now we're getting to the evening again, which is 6 to 8:24, where Lord Chaitanya bathes in the Ganges. He worships the deities, and he goes to Shiva's Pandit's house. And then Krishna goes home, takes a massage and bath. Rohini serves a meal, and Krishna milks the cows at that particular time. And so an example, let's give some examples of this, is Srila Prabhupada. This is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When we were with Srila Prabhupada, he was going to first Caracas, Venezuela, and then Miami, Florida. And when he reached both of these places, the same ecstatic manifestations occurred. He saw Varnatai, and he started to chant the song that we chanted previously, the whole Dvijana Nitai Goda Chan, Parama Karana Pahu Dvijana. The most merciful lords, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, like that, and immediately he went into trance. And the devotees didn't know what to do. Finally, after about 5 or 10 minutes, it happened both in Miami and Caracas, Venezuela, they started chanting. And they asked Prabhupada, basically, what should we do if that happens, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada, he didn't give them a direct instruction. No, just chant Hare Krishna. He said, he was sort of apologetic for the whole thing. Why? Because a pure devotee generally keeps his ecstatic emotions down. But any of us who've seen Prabhupada would generally see tears coming from his eyes. I'm sure Purvi saw that. No? I used to sit in back of Srila Prabhupada while he was chanting Jai Radhamadhava and watch every motion. And the way he played cartels, I mean, I can't imitate, of course, was like music. It was like a dramatic, you know, just beautiful choreographed performance. Like, and every part of Prabhupada's body was, I mean, attractive. Even the hairs in his ears. Prabhupada said, if someone has hairs coming from his ears, it's a sign of intelligence. Did you know that? Prabhupada actually said that. So don't shave your ears anymore. So, that was Prabhupada actually said that. So anyway, Prabhupada, there's an example of Prabhupada. There's another example that comes to mind of Srinivas Acharya. He was in trance one day and he was completely unconscious. His disciple Ramchandra Kaviraj joined him and they both were absorbed in the same pastime together and they came out together from that pastime. So this is bhava, or spiritual emotions. Okay, so two more. Seventh. My Lord Govinda, because of separation from you, I consider even a moment a great millennium. Tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I see the entire world as void. And of course, this is state called Vipralamba Seva. Vipralamba means worshiping the Lord in the mood of separation. And as far as the time of the day, that's 8:24 to 10:48, where there's an arti to Lord Chaitanya and Panchatattva. All the devotees meet at Srivas Thakur's house, and there's sankirtan. And as far as Krishna's time of the day, there's cleaning in Krishna's bedroom, parrots and friends meet in the bedroom, even the parrots come to the bedroom. Yashoda brings kheer before Krishna takes rest, and all the friends in Krishna sleep, and then Krishna wakes up to sneak out when everyone's not looking. So that's that time. And as far as persons who illustrate this, let's take one of, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lakshmi Priya was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first wife. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to East Bengal to carry out his brahminical functions and raise money to support his family, she died from the snake bite of separation. The snake was the personification of her mood of separation from the Lord. And of course, in the Lalita Madhava, Vaishnava Rupa Goswami, we have Radharani, who is depicted as feeling so much separation from Krishna when Krishna goes to Mathura that she jumps into the Jamuna River and leaves this world. That's the story of Lalita Madhava. So these are different pastimes that illustrate this extreme separation. And in other words, here Prabhupada translates yugayitam, not like 12 years or more, as is the common translation that we're used to, but as a millennium. In other words, a yuga, a divya yuga, like millions and millions of years. And of course, when devotees are with Krishna, time passes so quickly that even a night of Lord Brahma passes like what? An instant. So that's the gopi's mood. And so the final verse of the Shikshashtaka. Let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who has fallen at his lotus feet, or let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. He is a debauchee, after all, and can do whatever he likes, but still, he alone and no one else is the worshipful Lord of my heart. So this stage is prema sambhoga. That means the meeting of Radha and Krishna and the unalloyed mood that basically only the gopis have in relationship with Krishna. And at the final time, this is 10:48 to 3:36, it's sankirtan at Srivas Thakur's house, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes home. And as far as Krishna's pastimes, the gopis decorate themselves and go to the forest. Krishna plays his flute. Krishna and the gopis drink honey wine. They get intoxicated. It's described by the acharya, sometimes when they're drinking this honey wine, they actually forget which side of the glass you're supposed to pour the wine into. Like if you turn the glass on, you know, sometimes you have crystal glasses and it's hard to see and it goes all over the place. One devotee did that with Prabhupada once. Not with honey wine, of course. But with water, he actually poured. He probably got pretty upset. So, Krishna and the gopis drink honey wine and find his kastuba jump. And each gopi goes to his own bower and Radha and Krishna sleep on a fragrant flower bed. So the only person I can think of to illustrate, or in pastime I can think to illustrate this particular verse is Radharani and the gopis curing Krishna's headache. And of course, I think most of you are familiar with that story. Krishna had a headache, told Narada Muni, I need the dust for my devotees' lotus feet. And Narada Muni goes to all the devotees, and practically everyone says, no way, because we don't want to go to hell. But then he goes to the gopis, and specifically Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Radharani says, here, take the dust from my feet. And Narjuni says, aren't you worried about going to hell? And Srimati Radharani says, we don't care. If we can cure Krishna's headache, then that's what we want. And actually, the statement is, if our unhappiness gives Krishna happiness, then our unhappiness is our happiness. So that's the ultimate stage of pure devotional service, illustrated by Lord Chaitanya in the Shikshashtaka. So as a regular function, we should be studying the Shikshashtaka and at least one of the verses we can resonate with when we're chanting our japa. Especially, I resonate with the verse, I nanda tanuja kinkaram patita mambam avambudo. That, oh my Lord, O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant, help! Like Prabhupada said, that's actually Prabhupada's instructions I mentioned before. Help, Krishna, help! I'm stuck in this horrible material world. Of course, we're not thinking it's a horrible material world. We're thinking, it's kind of nice. You know, I got a new computer, a new car, you know. I'm doing pretty well. So we should be convinced that the material world is horrible. I mean, just like yesterday, we were seeing one devotee go to a funeral, and a few days ago we were seeing a devotee leaving his body. And, of course, this is called Smarshana Vairagya. Smarshana Vairagya means practically everybody becomes renounced in the crematorium. But what happens after you leave the crematorium, then you forget about that renunciation. So we have to maintain this mood that this material world is not a place for gentlemen, as Chaitanya, as Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati Thakur says. And in this way, cry out for the Lord to save us. So study these Shikshashika verses. So thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrī Chaitanya Mahāprabhu ki jai, Śrī Gaura Purnima ki jai. Okay, now, where's our MC?